Okay, we're going to begin here with the Mishnah on the top of Tehillim and Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Chamura Shlo Bichra. So it hasn't given birth yet, so if it gives birth to Zachar, it will be a Petar Chamura. V'yada Shnei Zecharim. And then it gives birth to two males. Notein Plei Achad HaKohen. Then for sure the Kohen is entitled to one of them, because one of them was definitely the Petar Chamura.
Were they twins?
Most likely we were twins. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara, because it's Shita Rabbi Yossi Aglili that they could come out simultaneously. So over here, at least one of them belongs to the Kohen. Zachar Unikeva. On the other hand, if in front of us now we have a male and a female, we don't know which one came out first. If the Zachar came out first, Petar Chamor. The Keva came out first, there is no Petar Chamor. So therefore, Mafrish Tele Achad, you take out one Tele to exchange in case the Zachar is a Petar Chamor, Le'atzmo, but he'll keep it for himself. Because the Kohen will be under the requirement of a motzi mechavero alav haraya, and until you can bring proof that the zachar was first, you don't have to give the tleh to him. You just mafrish the tleh in order to protect the petar chamor. We'll see why in the second half of today's daf. Shtei chamurav. So he has two donkeys shelo bichru that never gave birth yet. V'yodu shnei zacharim. And now we have two males in front of us. We know for certain that each one of them was a petar chamor. So therefore, notein shnei tleim the kohen. And the Kohen gets both of them. It's a pretty clear-cut, straightforward case over here. The case is where it gets more complicated. Zachar unikeva. Oh, shnei zacharim v'knikeva. In front of us now we have a male and a female. Or we have two males and a female. Then, notein tle echad the Kohen. He gives one tle to the Kohen because for sure, one of the two gave birth to a zachar. I mean that only one of them could have had a nekeva here that would have been make them patur. So one of the animals definitely had a zechar. So for sure, yuchayav and petar chamor for one of them. Now the other one is a safek. The other one, it's not written in the Mishnah, but it's obvious from the context of the Mishnah. The Rashi says it, Tosafot also says it, that over here, that you would be mafrish a second tle and keep it for yourself. Because it's the same as the safek we had before between a zechar and a nekeva. The other one, you have a safek, whether it gave birth to the zechar first or the nekeva first. It's a motzi mechavreu alav haraya, so the Kohen doesn't get it, but you still would be mafrish letelet in order to remove the shame petar chamor. Shtei nekevot vizachar. If there are two females and a male, oh, shnei zacharim ushtei nekevot, two males and two females, ain't the Kohen klum. Kohen gets nothing. Once again, here you would be mafrish letelet misafek. At least one, maybe two, tleim misafek, in order to take care of this fact that there is a possibility that the zachar came out first. In that instance, then you would have to be mafrish, but amotzi mechaver olav haraya, you don't have to give anything to the kohen. Now you have here donkeys, achad bichra, achad shelo bichra. One of them was its a firstborn, the other one had already given birth. We have two males that are born here. The kohen definitely gets one, because the one that was having its first child definitely had a peter chamor in this case. Zachar unikeva. If we have a male and a female now, mafrish le'achad le'atzmo. He's mafrish le'atzmo for himself, because we'll say that the zachar was born to the one that was bichra already, that already had children, and then a keva was born to the one that did not. So you could say the kohen's got to prove it in order to get it. On the other hand, there is a safek that it was the other way around, and there might actually be a petar chamor here. So you mafrish le'atzmo, but you keep it. Shenemar. Because it says, U'petar chamor, tifteh biseh. Now this is the reason why you have to be mafrish a seh. To be exchange a chamor for a seh. Mina kvasim u'mina izim. It's irrelevant what the seh is. It can be kvasim or izim. It can be sheep or a goat. Doesn't really matter. Zachar unikeva, male or female. Gadol v'katan, big or small. Its value is irrelevant. It's a seh. Period, that is puter the chamor, the petar chamor, it's irrelevant whether there's a equal value exchange over here. Tamim or balmum. Again, it doesn't matter whether it's tam, balmum, whatever this is, it can work to exchange the petar chamor. Now, puter bo pi'amim harbe, you're allowed to exchange with it numerous times. We saw the machloket between Rashi and the Reino Tam back on Daf Dalet. Rashi says that if the kohen gives it back to you, after you've given it to him, if he returns it to you, you can use it again. Tosafot says, of course, that's the case. If you haven't given it to the kohen yet, you can't use it at all. Because it's the kohen's tleh. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam over there suggested there was an inyan b'safek. You're allowed to use one tleh. If you use a tleh to be poter a safek once, and then you come to another safek, you're allowed to use that same tleh again in order to be poter the petar chamor. Now, nichnas the deal itaser. If you're going to treat it like chulin, meaning that you're going to keep it, then it gets counted towards maser behema. only chulin could be maser be'ema, since here it's yours, and you're not going to give it to the Kohen, it'll be included in the maser be'ema, is the 10 that are counted towards to get to the 10th one, to be maser be'ema, v'emet, v'dais nenimbo. It doesn't have a residual kedusha of any sort. It's mamon a Kohen if it goes to the Kohen. If it's with you, it's the mamon balim, and therefore if it dies, you can use its carcass, you can get any benefit you want. There is no residual kedusha here. So mantano, who's the author of our Mishnah? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, delo ki Rabbi Yossi haglili. It's not like Rabbi Yossi glili, di Rabbi Yossi glili hamar ehefshar litzamtzeim. Because according to Rabbi Yossi glili, you can have things happen exactly, simultaneously. We can't have such a thing happen. As Rashi points out, the way Rashi phrases the question is, based on our Mishnah, it says that when you had two Zecharim, that's what you were asking. Here you had twins. They were born to this one Chamor Shlo Bichra. And now we said you only give one Tzelet to the Kohen, which implies that one of them came first, for sure. One of them came out first. The second one is not a Bechor. But according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, there was a possibility that they both emerged simultaneously. If they both emerge simultaneously, then maybe both of them are kadosh b'kedushat b'chora. And it's because the Mishnah here doesn't demand that you give two. For that reason, we say, it must not be Rabbi Yossi Glili. Now, there are two things to state about this. Number one is, we have a principle in general, which is kol she'yafshar b'zeh hazeh. Anything that doesn't work when you do it sequentially, then we don't worry about it b'vatachat. Over here, if the zecharim come out in a sequential manner, only one of them is kadosh. Not both of them. So then, if they would come out sequentially, only one of them would be kadosh, then bevat achat, how could you suggest that they both be kadosh? Because that's the principle that we have all over Shas, that kosheinu b'zechazeh, bevat achat eino. Answer to that first one is based on a Tosvot Shita, we see all over Shas, we're going to see it again on Yud Zayin, where the main sugi, Rabbi Yossi Glili, is an Efshel Letzamtzeim. Tosvot, this differentiates Efshel Letzamtzeim between Hadavar Hatalui b'maseh, and kedusha ba'melea, davar atalui b'shamayim. When it's a davar atalui b'maseh, then we invoke the principle that if you can't do it b'zeh chazeh, then b'vat achat doesn't count. But something that has to deal with ma'isa shamayim, over there, even if you can't do it b'zeh chazeh, b'vat achat would work. So for instance, a person wants to create kiddushim, marry two women, and he gives them simultaneously, he gives them money of kiddushin, over there we're going to say, well, he couldn't marry them sequentially, therefore, he can't marry them, b'vat achat. So that's a ma'ase adam. But we're talking about here, where you're talking about kedusha that comes from a shamayim, over there, then zech hazer is not relevant versus b'vat achat. That's one thing. The second thing is, even Rabbi Yossi Glili agrees that efshar l'tzamtzeim, a case where they came out simultaneous, is far-fetched. He agrees that's not the everyday case. So even over here, why don't you just say that's a miut? We didn't see them come out simultaneously. So why should you be, and this is what Tosfot asks on Rashi, I don't understand Rashi, that's not the reason that it can't be like Rabbi Yossi Glili. Even Rabbi Yossi Glili would agree if we didn't see it, we're not going to assume that they came out at the exact same moment, and they're both kadosh. That's a really far-fetched case. So why would you suggest that you have to be mafrish atzleh because of that? So Tosfot in the end says, which is very interesting, he says, even though, mimkom okom v'savek mu'at, tov lachmir ba'davar, o tuflish t'lesh sheni latzmo. Because he doesn't lose anything over here. If he's mafrish the second tzleh, he protects against it being that remote possibility that they came out together, and he gets an additional benefit, which is that he keeps the tzleh, because it's a safek, a motzi mechaver lai, he doesn't lose any money out. So that's what the Gemara's question, or the point that Rabbi is making, is if it's according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, why not be choshesh for efshar l'tzamtzeim, even though it's far-fetched? But if you're choshesh for it, be mafrish the second tzleh, and then you can clean your hands of the whole situation, and you know you're definitely covered. So that's the question, or the point here, that the Mishnah doesn't go like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, afilu tam Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Shanei hotom dichtiv hazcharim l'ashem. Now Rabbi Yossi Aglili appears in a Mishnah later on, in Daf Yud Zayin. Over there, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the source for his limud is hazcharim l'ashem, even in plural, hazcharim l'ashem, but it's that's by behemah Torah, b'chor behemah Torah. So Abaye suggests over here that the limud he has is from behemah Torah, and not to Petar Chamor. So he says, V'liga Merminei, let it be a paradigm. Why doesn't that become the paradigm? Zecharim L'Hashem, we learn by Himei Torah, it should also apply to Behemat Tmeya, to the Petar Chamor. When it says, Hamiyet Rachmana, Ha Zecharim, but the Hey makes it into a miut, that only by Behemat Torah do we say, Efshar, that's the same. We do not say it by the Behemat Tmeya, by Petar Chamor. Ikadamre. So there's some that phrase it this way. Lema deloka Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Di Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amar Efshar L'Tzamtzeim. Amar Abaye, Afilu Teim Rabbi Yosi Glili, even Rabbi Yosi Glili could be the author of the Mishnah, Shani Hatam, Dichtiv Azcharim Lashem. That's because it says, by Behema Torah, Azcharim Lashem, and just like we learned the Limud now, it's only by Behema Torah, does not apply to Behema Tamea to Petar Chamor. So Bishma, Mother Rabbi Yirmiya, Tomlo Mokilaka Rabbi Yosi Glili, so Rabbi Yirmiya doesn't set it up aggressively, Haina Log Tukani, that it doesn't say, Yitzu Shnei Roshehem Kechad. The Mishnah doesn't specifically give us a case where they're born simultaneously, because that case is not relevant to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Lili would disagree in our Mishnah here, so we know that already from the Mishnah in Yud Zayin, so our Mishnah doesn't need to deal with that at all. Ela Abaye, according to Abaye, Lidnei B'yatzu Shnei Roshehem Ke'echad. According to Abaye, our Mishnah should come up with a case where they came out simultaneously, because that would be a chiddush for Rabbi Yosef Lili, because Rabbi Yosef Lili only says it's by Behema Tehora. So here, by Behema Tamea, to tell us that Rabbi Yosef Lili would agree that there is no Efshel Tzamtzim over here, that would be a big chiddush. The Mishnah should have addressed it. Again, if you don't think Rabbi Yosef Lili's opinion changes, then we'll see his opinion on the next Mishnah in the Yud Zayin, and we don't have to worry about it over here, because it equally applies to both. But if you're going to say his opinion is different by Behema Torah than by Behema Tmeha, then in Perek Bet, where it mentions Behema Torah, it should also have this case here in Perek Aleph, the Gabei Petar Chamor, to show us that Rabbi Yosef Lili does not think that's the case here. The Ode. On top of that, Tanya Chamoro Shelo Bichra, a case where his Chamor did not give birth, V'yaldash Shnei Zecharim, and then it gives birth to two males, V'yatzu Shnei Roshehem Ke'echad, and they are born simultaneously. Yosef Lili Omer Shnehem LaKohen, they both go to the Kohen, they're both Nitkadesh, Shnehemar, HaZecharim LaHashem. So here you have, we're talking about a Petar Chamor, and it quotes the Pasuk from Behema Torah, HaZecharim LaShem. Isn't Azcharim Lashem written by Behema Torah, where the animal, the Bechor, has Kedushat HaGuf? Elo Shemum Shenemar Azcharim Lashem. No, because it says Azcharim Lashem by Kedushat HaGuf, and we will apply that, we'll extrapolate that, we'll extend that to Behema Tmeat to Petar Chamor, and that is a Tiyufta de Abaye Tiyufta. That is a refutation of Abaye's position over here, because it's clear, the Braita says that Rabbi Yosef Lili applies the din of Eshel of Tzamtzim even by Petar Chamor. He takes the limud from Behema Torah, and he moves it over to Behema Tmeat as well. So that will go against the Abaye's suggestion that we could fit Rabbi Yosef Lili into this Mishnah. And again, the reason that this Mishnah doesn't have the case of Yatzu Shneim Kechad is because it has the exact same din as we have on Yud Zayin by Behema Torah, which is that Rabbi Yosef Lili would disagree and say that Efshar did something. And we see that clearly from the Breita that we just brought down. So now the Gemara says, Girabonon. So now, who the Rabbanon that we're speaking about here is not clear. The Rabbeinu Gershom brings down two possibilities of who the Rabbanon are. Either the Rabbanon, the authors of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yirmiya says Rabbi Yosef Lili is not the author of Mishnah, but the Rabbanon are, so that's one possibility, or the Rabbanon referring to are the Rabbanon on Yud Zayin who disagree with Rabbi Yosef Lili and say that it's not Efshar that's I'm saying. So Rabbanon, Lema Kasavri Rabbanon, Mitzat Rechem Magdish. Let us assume that the Rabbanon believe that it only is a portion of the Rechem is Magdish. It doesn't have to be the entire Rechem, because Di Kulei Rechem Magdish, if you need the entirety of the rechem, I mean the animal to be the sole contact between the rechem and the birthing process, nehi diefshal letzamtzim, fine, you can't have them come out simultaneously. Chatzitza mihiika. On the other hand, there still is a chatzitza here. So this is what you asked before, David. With regards to if they came out simultaneously, if they're twins, maybe neither of them should be kadosh. Because you have now two animals that are coming out at the same time from the womb, and they are sharing the womb. That means that no single animal had entire contact or entire enclosure by the womb, and then in the birthing process was Petar Rechem, because the other one, his brother, was always there with him and causing a chatzitza. So maybe neither of them should be kadosh. But we don't see. Our Mishnah says that at least one of them is kadosh. What you see from that is, you don't need the animal to have kula rechem, you just need mix of the rechem. He doesn't have to have the entire rechem to be kadosh v'bukhara, just a portion of the rechem. He could share it with someone else. So Amarav, no. Min b'mino enu chotzeitz. You can't prove anything from here, because it's min b'mino. These are two zecharim. They are both the same animal. They are not chotzeitz. So even if you want to say that you need entire rechem, it might be enough that you need the entire rechem, even if his brother's there, his brother's not chotzeitz, because he is min b'mino. Now we had a case like this back in Chulin, where you had a behemah that came out with its sister over there, and then the Gemara discusses that it's a chatzitza. Tosafot wants to differentiate between the cases there, either because it's a nekeva, and that's enough to be a chatzitza, because a nekeva is not re'uya to be a bechor, and therefore she's a chatzitza versus a zachar, his brother, who would not to be Echa Tzitza. Or the other possibility over there is that the Gemara there says that the Achoto, his sister, helped him to be birthed. And therefore she was integral to the birthing process, and that's why over there she's considered to be a chatzitza, whereas over here they just came out together, they were there together, but they're not that one or the other was helping them to come out or to emerge, and therefore over here would not be considered a chatzitza. Okay, the Gemara continues now. The Gemara asks a very basic question, which is, why do I have to be mafrish tleh at all? Yes, I have possibility of a safek peter chamor. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be mafrisha seh to move it onto the seh. Well, Petar Chamor doesn't have Kedusha, and neither does the seh have Kedusha. So what am I worried about by leaving the Petar Chamor as a safek and using it as a safek? I mean, then what do I do by being poded onto the tleh? We're not talking about tevel here. We're not talking about Kedusha taguf. Simply talking about pidyon. So whether the safek of the monetary matter is with the chamor or with the seh, why does it matter? As Tosafot points out, that if you left it on the chamor, it wouldn't make you have to do arifa of the chamor. Because the same safek that allows you to keep the tleh would also be poter you from doing arifa to this chamor. So if that's the case, why am I demanding that you be mafrish? I understand in other cases where it's tevel, and you need to remove the shame tevel, therefore you're mafrishit, and you keep it for yourself. Because with regards to the monetary matters, with regards to the Isur, we'll say be mafrish in order to remove the shame Isur. But over here, Petar Chamor doesn't have any shame Isur that we would make such a demand. So we came into that smahul, amalida frushe, lafkuya the Isure mine. Oh, it must be that you're trying to remove some shame Isur from the Chamor. Alma. From that you can see that if you do not remove the shame Isur from the Petar Chamor, it's Asur v'hana'a. And since it's a safek in Isur, safek Isur Hana'ah, we're not going to let you. It's not just a monetary matter anymore. There's also an Isur Hana'ah that is related over here. And because of that, we're going to force you to be redeem it with the seh, even though you're going to keep it for yourself. So Matnitan Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, we have a machloket in the Braita, Petar Chamor Asur Ba'ana'ah. Is a Petar Chamor Asur Ba'ana'ah? The Tanakama, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, says yes. Rabbi Shimon, Matir, Rabbi Shimon says no, that a Petar Chamor is not a Asur Ba'ana'ah. The big nafkamina will be whether you have to be mafrisha seh to remove that shame Isur Hana'ah from it. So Ein Ochanami, from the monetary side, you won't have to do anything, but from the side of the Isur Hana'ah, you will have to be mafrish to seh in order to remove that shame Hana'ah from the Petar Chamor. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda that he says there's an Isur Hana'ah here? Amarula says, because Yesh Echad Davar Shetzarich Di'ah Umutar, is there anything in the world that you have to redeem, that has some form of Kedusha on it that you have to redeem, and it's Mutar without redeeming it? Where it says, hello, we have a great example right here in our Masechta, Ari Bechor Adam, talking about Pidyon HaBen. A person is not Asur Ba'ana'ah, even though there's a requirement to be Podedem. So even though there's Pidyon, you see that there's no Isur Hana'ah that is connected with them. Because over there, Bechor Adam Shetzarich Di'ah Mutar, Ella. So let's rephrase that. Yesh Lecha Davar Shekpida Alav Torah B'seh. Is there anything the Torah requires you to exchange for a seh? Umutar? And it is mutar. Where it says, Umi Yekpida. Where does the Torah say that you have to exchange it for a seh? V'har Rav Nechemiah, brother of Yosef, Parklei B'shilkei B'shovyo. He used to redeem his Petar Chamor with cooked vegetables. It actually says cooked of savim, herbs, but shovyo with its value. So we mentioned this before, that when it comes to redemption of the Petar Chamor, there are three options. The primary option that the Torah offers you is that you should exchange it onto a seh. The second option that is offered to you, which is what was being discussed here, is that if you don't redeem with the seh, you can redeem it through its value. You have to take a shovyo, and you can pay out its value and give that value to the coin. The third thing, which the Torah frowns upon, which is that you do the arifat Petar Chamor, that you actually kill the Petar Chamor, because you didn't redeem it, you didn't give it to the Kohen. So those are the three options open to you in terms of Petar Chamor. So Gemara is saying, do you find anything you have to exchange for a seh? And it is not Asur Ba'ana'ah. Gemara says, yeah, you don't have to exchange it with the seh. How do you know the Torah was makpid on exchange with the seh? The Torah says that you can exchange it for its value. The seh is not so integral over here. Gemara says, b'shavyo lo ka'amar. I'm not talking about a case where you're exchanging it for its value. Ki ka'aminim shelo b'shavyo. And there you do it, a seh does not have to be equal to the value of the chamor, and you're allowed to exchange it. V'achid kamar, this means, yesh echad davar shekpida Torah lav lachkuye l'isurei b'seh. So anything in the Torah, that the Torah is makpid, that you must remove its isur through the exchange with the seh, it's not a monetary exchange because the value does not matter. And, nevertheless, it's going to be mutar ba'ana'ah, it's not going to have any isur associated with it. But when it says, well, why don't we have that? V'ay maser. We have that by maser sheni. Shekpida lav Torah b'keset tzuri. The Torah was makpid that you have minted coins in order to use the exchange of the Maaser Sheni. Torah says that you're allowed to exchange the Maaser Sheni to cash, to coins, but the coins have to be minted coins with pictures on them, and then you take that money up to Yerushalayim and you spend it on food in Yerushalayim. So in terms of Maaser, we see that there is a Akpada here that the Torah says you must do it with a specific type of exchange. Just like here by Petar Chamor, it must be done through a Petar, through a Seth. And that's the Torah's Makpid. When you don't do it at its true value, that you do it that way. Here the Torah's Makpid, that when you exchange the Maaser Sheni for money, it must be done because it's really minted coins. And not on what Rashi calls an Asimon, that's the Mishnah. Asimon is a piece of metal that's shaped like a coin, but not minted. It has no picture, it has no image on the coin. So now that you use that. So here you see the Torah's Makpid on exchanging it. And yet, the Maaser Sheni, we're going to see in a second, does not have an Isur Anah associated with it, or does not consider it to be not the Mamon of the Baalim. It's not Rav Yehuda Amar B'Mezid Kiddush. If a person takes the fruits of Maaser Sheni and gives them to a woman as her Kesef Kiddushim in order to marry her, they are Nit Kadesh. It works. The Kiddushin works over there because, and we'll see in a second why it works, but we assume that the woman accepts it, and you see that it's considered to be Mamon. You can only be Mekadesh Nishav. It's your money. So here there's no Isur Anah, and there is a demand for a specific type of exchange. Wait a minute, Petach Hamor, you can also do Kiddushin with a Petach Hamor. Kedrav Elazar. Damrav Elazar. So the reasoning that it works by Petach Hamor, the same reason that it works by Maaser Sheni, and there's really no question from this, because this is not any proof that there is no Isur Anah here. The reason it works for Kiddushin is based on this principle of Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar applies that principle by Petar Machomor, and it's equally applicable by Maaser Sheni. That is, Dama Rabbi Elazar, Isha Yudat, Shein Maaser Sheni Mitchala La Yada. She knows that the Maaser Sheni is not hers. Vola B'chalto B'Yerushalayim, and she knows that it has to be eaten up in Yerushalayim. So true, the value of it to her immediately is less than giving her fruits of Chulin, but it's not worthless. There is a value to this Maaser Sheni, because she could take it up to Yerushalayim, and eat it in Yerushalayim. That fact has monetary value to it. And she knows that. Hachanami, also over here, by the Petach Hamor. Isha Yudat, the Petach Hamor, Isura Itbe. Everybody knows that Petach Hamor she can't use, it's not hers to use. Parkalev is set, but she can redeem it with a set that is less than the value of the Hamor. Mikachi v'hach the Beni Beni. And the differential between the value of the chamor and the set that she has to give to the kohen, that differential is her money, that's chulin, and that differential will be what he is mikadesh her with. So you see over here that there is a no din by Maaser Sheni that you can get benefit from it, because the only benefit that's allowed is this kiddushin. And we see that also by Petach Hamor you can have that kiddushin. But those are exceptional cases. They're exceptional cases because the woman is not really marrying with the value of the item as is in front of us now, but rather in its future value. The Maaser Sheni is worth something when she takes it to Yerushalayim. The Petach Hamor is worth something when she exchanges it for a set. So with that future value that's there, or embedded in the object, she's mekadesh herself, that monetary value that exists now, she's nitkadesh to the suitor in that way. But, in general, we will believe that anything that demands a specific exchange, like Petach Hamor, that demands a specific exchange of a seh, that's not its value, as well as by Maaser Sheni, where it demands that it be kesef with the tzura, minted coins with images on them, there too, there will be an Isra. No, you're not allowed to use the Maaser Sheni fruits and the Petach Hamor for your own benefit. There is an Isra Anah associated with both of them. So that's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon, my time, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? Is there anything in the world where when you redeem it, it is mutar? I mean, the item itself is mutar. Vehu asur? And the original item is asur. Here, when you give this, take the seh and you exchange it for the Petach Hamor, the seh is totally mutar. The seh has no restrictions on it whatsoever. So you can have a seh that has no restrictions on it, coming from a Petach Hamor that has an Isur associated with it? No. If you have Isur on the original object, then the object that's used for the redemption also has Isur on it. The fact that the seh has no Isurim on it is indicative of the fact that the Hamor has no Isurim. Velo, is there no such case? We have a case by Shvi'it, the Pidyonah Mutar. V'hi Asura. The by Shvi'it, fruits of Shvi'it that have Kedushat Shvi'it, if you exchange them onto something else, then the new monies or the one to use for the pidyon has no kedusha on it, but the original fruits do have isur associated with them. Gemara is saying this up front, but it's clear that this is not the case by perot shvi'it, because we've learned this before in Avodah Zarah and Dach Samet Bet and doing schora and perot shvi'it, that when one exchanges perot shvi'it, what ends up happening is the kedusha does transfer to the new object. It's nitpas on the new object, But then, if that object is exchanged for something else, it passes along the kedusha. So, for instance, if you have perot shvi'it, and then you purchase with them wine, and with that wine you purchase shemen, and with that shemen you purchase basar, each one of those items becomes kadosh and passes the kedusha on. So the perot shvi'it imbue kedusha in the wine that you bought first with it. Then the wine, kedusha, is passed to the shemen when you bought the shemen with it, and the shemen's kedusha is passed to the basar in the end. But the original fruits remain kadosh. So there's a din in perot shvi'it that the original fruits always remain kadosh, and whatever is used last in terms of exchanges, that will also maintain the kedushat shvi'it. But the assumption now is that those interim items, like the wine and the shemen, they don't have kedushat shvi'it. The answer is they don't have kedushat shvi'it because it was passed on to the next item. But if they were the last item, they would have kedushat shvi'it, so this isn't a proof. That's what the Gemara says here, shvi'it nami pidyono asur. And when it comes to shvi'it, the exchange is also asur. Damamar, acharon, acharon, asur. That the last one is asur. And the last item that is exchanged for the perot shvi'it will be asur be kedushat shvi'it, as well as the original perot. So there we have no proof from Shvi'it that there's an alternative case where you have such a thing where the original object is asur and the pidyon is mutar, because the pidyon by perot shvi'it is also asur. Just the last pidyon that is asur, but there is something that's asur as a derivative of the original item. Now with regards to this exchanging and the problems with perot skorav and perot shvi'it, Rashi the Shitat over here focuses on the beer aspect of it. That it has to be, the original perot had to be nitba'er bizmanam, as well as the new object, also is subject to the dinim of bi'ur, shvi'it, because it takes on the kedusha of the original object. Tosafot in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, in a number of places, when Samach Bet and other places, talks about the fact that the skorav b'perot shvi'it is inherently problematic. Forget about the bi'ur aspect of it, and the kala chayev in asadeh, there's an inherent problem with v'achlo below skorah, that you're not allowed to do skorah and perot shvi'it, and that generates the isur over here. The isur can be generated simply from the fact that you're not allowed to do skorah and perot shvi'it, not that the issue of, if you do it, then you have to do bi'ur. But rather, there's an inherent problem, isur, that underlies doing transactions with perot shvi'it. V'ibaitema. And some say, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Bahai Kroak, Miflege. It's not a logical argument, but rather a limud from the Pasuk that is what causes their argument. Before we suggest that it's a logical argument, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't find anything where there's a demand for a particular exchange, but the object itself is not kadosh. Therefore, it must be that the Petar Chamor has some sort of kedusha to it, and that's the Isur Hana that's associated with it. Shimon says, you have no object where you can find that the pidyon, the item that you redeem it with, is mutar, and the original object should be asur. The pidyon should take on the properties of the original object. If it's mutar, the pidyon, then certainly the original object was mutar. So that's a logical argument between them. Now we're going to suggest it's an argument in the pasuk. Tanya, lo tavod bebechor shirecha, aval ataoved b'shalcha b'shal acharim. You're not allowed to work with your bechor, but that's if it's yours. But if you have a joint ownership, you have a partnership with an ovi kochavim, then you can work with it because it's patur min ha bechora. V'lo tavoz bechor tzanecha, you're not allowed to shear your sheep. You can't shear your own sheep, but you can shear sheep that you own jointly with a goy. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon omer, lo tavod bechor sherecha, v'lo tavod bechor adam. You're not allowed to work with your bechor shor, but you can work with a bechor adam, meaning that you can get benefits from his maaseh yadayim. There is no restriction about a bechor adam. Lo tochoz bechor tzonecha, avatal gozeiz bechor chamor. You can be gozeiz your behemah tohurah that is kedushat bechor, but by the peter chamor, by the chamor, there is no such restriction. There is no iser ana. So now bishlomo de Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, Haine Dichtiv, Trei Krai. That's the reason that the Torah has two statements. One by Sherecha, and one by Tzonecha. One to teach you about the din by Bechor Adam, that there's no Isra Anah by Bechor Adam, and one to teach you there's no Isra Anah by Petar Chamor. But El Rabbi Yehuda, Trei Krai Lemute Shalchav Shalachirim, Alomali. Why do I need two times the Torah tell me that if I have a partnership with an Ovi Kochavim, that I'm Patur Min HaBechorah? You can tell me at once. Why do I need to tell me don't work with the shore, don't shear the sheep? Either one of them is for the same reason. You said you have a partnership with a goy. Tell me it once, and that'll be sufficient. Vit 2. And on top of that, Rabbi Yehuda, Bechor Adam, Nami, Neimed, Asir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to extend the din and say that it's Isur Hanah by an Adam. He doesn't have a miut from the Pasuk. So now we're going to say that a Bechor Adam is Asur by an Adam. So that we can't be the limud. The Pasuk, the way we just explained it, can't be the limud. Elo, the Kuliyama, Sherecha, Limute, Bechor Adam. Everybody agrees that the Lo Tavod, Bechor Sherecha, that comes to teach you that Bechor Adam is Mutar Ba'ana, only Bechor Beima Torah is Asur Behana'a. Ki plige Bitzonecha. They only argue about the Pasuk when it comes to Lota goes Bechor Tzonecha. The Rabbi Yehuda Letamei, Rabbi Yehuda is Leshitato, Domar Shutafut, Oved Kochavim, Chayevet Bebechora. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to partnership with Oved Kochavim, we saw this in the beginning of the Perek, that he believes you're Chayav for the Bechora. Now, you don't pay on the whole thing, you pay your proportional ownership, you have to redeem and give to the claim. You're not Patur Legamrei when you have a Shutfut with the Oved Kochavim. That partnership only is Poter with regard to the Obi Kochavim's ownership, but your ownership you're going to have to pay for. The Chayitz Tichras, so then I need a puzzle. The Mishre Begizav Avoda, there's no Isra Na over here. Even though you're Chayav in Bechorah, even though you have to give Bechor and pay for your portion of it, nevertheless, the animal itself doesn't have an Isra Na on it. That's what the puzzle comes to teach us. Rav Shimon Savar Shutafut Obi Kochavim Pturah Min Bechorah. There's nothing to talk about. You're in a partnership with the Obi Kochavim. You don't have Kishat Bechor. Therefore, what do you need? Lo tagoz b'chor tzonecha. L'inyan gizav avoda. Lo itzrichra. I don't need the pasuk for that because it's not osur ba'ana. You don't even chayev in b'chor. So why would you be osur ba'ana? Itzrichra the petach hamor. And therefore, I had the pasuk left over to darshan the petach hamor is not osur b'hana'a. That the only restriction on a behemah Torah, there is no restriction on a petach hamor. So that's how we get the difference in their opinions. And where it says bishlam Rabbi Yehuda einu dichtiv tzonecha b'sharecha. It says the two atu tzonecha. Because Tzonecha and Sharecha are written in the possessive form. Tzon Shelcha, Shor Shelcha. Why is that relevant? For the limud of Rabbi Shimon, the two limudim that we have in the Pasuk, Sharecha, to teach you that there is a din by Shor and not a din by Adam, I don't need you to teach me anything about the possessive form that it's your Shor. The din is Shor, yes, Asur Bena. Adam, no. Could have said, O Tavod B'chor Shor. Don't work a B'chor Shor. Why does it have to be Sharecha? That's not relevant. Now, Tzonecha, there it's the possessive form as well. Now, for Rabbi Yehuda, that is relevant. Rabbi Yehuda says the only time there's a restriction against Tana by Bechor is Tzonecha, Tzon Shelcha, when it's yours own, you're owned by you. But if it's owned jointly with the Obed Kochavim, then there is no restriction. So I understand why he wrote Tzonecha according to Rabbi Yehuda, and I'll say that it wrote Sharecha to have parallel structure in the Pasuk, Atu Tzonecha. So since it had to write Tzonecha, it also wrote Sharecha. But according to Rabbi Shimon, what's a limud of Tzonecha is, Bechor Tzon has an Isra Na, but Petach Hamor does not, then again, you could have just said, Lota goes Bechor Tzon. Why do you have to say Tzonecha? Why is the possessive form relevant over here? And then if it's not relevant by Tzonecha, then why did I write it by Sharecha? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only Otu Tzonecha that wrote Sharecha. Over here, for Rabbi Shimon, there's no reason to have the possessive form by Tzonecha, nor there is there a reason to have it by Sharecha. And that's the Gemara's question over here. Bishlam, Rabbi Yehuda, Dichtiv Tzonecha v'Sharecha, Otu Tzonecha. Al Rabbi Shimon, Sharecha v'Tzonecha lamli. Why do I need that possessive form? The Gemara leaves it as a kasho. I'm a rabbi. Now rabbi makes a statement of Rabbi Shimon. Umode Rabbi Shimon acharifa shu asur. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that after, if you did not exchange this petar chamor, you did not redeem it with money, you did not redeem it with a set, and you do arifa, you cut it, break its neck, and kill it, it is asur ba'ana. So even though in its lifetime, the chamor is not asur ba'ana, nevertheless, after you do the arifa ta hamor, then there is a isurana. My time, gamar arifa, arifa me'egla rufa. We learned that exeira shava of arifa, arifa, both of them require the breaking of the neck from the back of the animal. So there, just like by egla rufa, it's asur bana. So too over here, the arifa of the petach hamor will be asur bana. Amarov, or really should be Rabbo here, because he's proving what he just said. But now I mean, how can I prove to you? I can show you that this is the case. Rabbi Shimon agrees. The Tanya, we have a Braita, Horla, Vakilea Kerem, Beshur Niskal, Vegla Rufa, Vitzipurei Mitzurah, Petr Chamor, Basar Bachalav, Kulam Mitamim Tumatochlim, Shimon Omer, Kulam Ein Mitamim Tumatochlim. So over here we have items that are Asurim Behana, Horla, fruits in their first 3 years. Kilei Kerem is Kilayim with regards to the vineyard between grapes and Tvu'ah, whether you need the Mapotam, Vatachat, you need two grains in the vineyard, or just one grain in the vineyard, but you have Kilayim over here, they are Asurim Bahana'ah. Shor Niskal is also Asur Bahana'ah. Egla Rufa is Asur Bahana'ah. Tzipore Mitzorah, before you release them, the Tzipore Mitzorah are Asurim Bahana'ah. Upetar Chamor, Petar Chamor is also Asur Bahana'ah. Ubasar Bachalav. Basar and Chalav together also, not just Asur Ba'achila, but also Asur Ba'ana'ah. So Kulam, Mitamim, Tumat Ochlim. All of them, even though they're Asur Ba'ana'ah, they still are Mitamim, Tumat Ochlim. So that they can, they're classified as Ochel. Even though they're Asur Ba'ana'ah, they're classified as Ochel, Vesheretz, or something comes into contact with them before they're in a Veilah. or for the fruits, they can accept Tumah of Tumah Tochlim, because they have a din of Ochel, even though they can't be eaten, even though there's Nisar Anah. Shimon Omer, Kulam, Eimet Amim Tumah Tochlim. Rabbi Shimon says that's not the case, because Rabbi Shimon believes, and we'll see this in a second, that it has to be edible in order for it to have Tumah Tochlim. It doesn't have to be you who eats it, but there has to be someone who can eat it. According to Rabbi Shimon, basar b'chalav is bentamei tumat ochlim, because the component parts of basar b'chalav are basar alone and chalav alone. Basar alone and chalav alone are not asur b'anah, and since they're not asur b'anah by themselves, they had a shat kosher. When you bring them together, even though now they're asurim b'anah, since they had a shat kosher, they have a din of tumat ochlim. But what do you see from this? That Rabbi Shimon believes that there is an Isser Hana'ah that is associated with regular Rufa. He's mentioned in the Braita. Yet he believes there's no Tumat Ochlim. The reason that there is no Tumat Ochlim is because it's a Surbana. And that's the next line. Like, Marav, Rabbi Asim, Rabbi Yochan, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason Rabbi Shimon? Mikol Ochel Asher Ye Achel. When it's talking about the Tumah in Parshat Shmini, it says, Ochel that become Tumah is Asher Ye Achel, that which can be eaten. Something that you can feed to others is called ochel. If you can't feed it to anybody else, doesn't have a shame ochel. So over here too, the objects here have yisurei hana'ah associated with them, so you can't even give it to a goy. Since you can't give it to a goy, nobody can eat it. If nobody can eat it, then it can't have tumat ochlim. Again, with the exception of basar b'chalav that had a shat kosher. Other than that, there is nobody who can eat these items. Since nobody can eat them, there is no dana in Tumat Tochlim. So again, that proves our point, the Rabbah's point. The Shimon says the reason that Egla Arufa and the reason that Peter Chamor do not have Tumat Tochlim is because they are Asurim Bahana. So you see that Rabbi Shimon believes that the Peter Chamor is Asur Bahana, despite the fact that he believes while it's alive, the Peter Chamor has no Isur Hana associated with it. Right, we'll stop here. Gemara tomorrow continues with a question on this position. Why is it that Rabbi Shimon needs by Basar B'Chalav Shata Kosher when Rabbi Shimon himself holds that Basar B'Chalav is not a Sur B'Ana'ah? The Gemara will have to deal with that tomorrow, but for as far as our sugya, we can bring a little closure to it, that Rabbah states that Machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is only as long as the Petra Chamor is alive. If the Petra Chamor is killed, the Arifa, because you didn't exchange it for a Ser, they were not Poded, then he agrees that there is an Isser Hana'ah associated with this Petra Chamor. And we prove that from the Braita about Tumat Ochlim. Okay, we'll stop over here.